Om Shri Sai Ram. Placing my humble pranams at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear listeners, I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you all once again for today's Thursday Life. This is the segment Service Love in Action. Bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami, translating into service to humanity. Well, dear listeners, the time in our studio is 11:20 a.m. and today is 28th of February. As we are entering into the month of March, the weather here at Parthi has already shifted its gear to summer, the highs of the mercury reaching mid-30s during noon. Well, whatever it is, everything about Parthi is divine, be it the weather, the vibrations, the festivities, the normal days, everything is filled with the undercurrent of divine vibes of Bhagwan. And dear listeners, it's our humble attempt to bring these vibes to your homes through various Radio Sai programs. Well, in this segment, Service Love in Action, I talk about the various service activities undertaken by Swami's students and his devotees. Well, talking about service to society, it is said, when we serve others, we are actually serving ourselves. And we live in a perfect world of reflection and reaction. Just as no bad act will go without unpleasant reactions, no good act will be lost unrewarded. Well, at this juncture, I am reminded of a beautiful story. One day, a poor boy was selling goods from door to door to pay his way through school, and he found he had only one thin dime left and he was hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house. However, he lost his nerve when a woman opened the door. Instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water. She thought he looked hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then asked, "How much do I owe you?" Then the woman replied, "You don't owe me anything. Mother has taught us never to accept payment for a kindness." The boy said, "Well, I thank you from my heart." The boy was Howard Kelly. As he left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and man was strong also. Years later, that young woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled. They finally sent her to the big city where they called in specialists to study her rare disease. Dr. Howard Kelly was called in for the consultation. When he heard the name of the town she came from, a strange light filled his eyes. Immediately he rose and went down the hall of the hospital to her room. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her. He recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room, determined to do his best to save her life. From that day, he gave special attention to the case. Well, after a long struggle, the battle was won. Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass the final bill to him for approval. He looked at it, then wrote something on the edge of the bill, and the bill was sent to her room. The lady feared to open it, for she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay for it all. But finally, she looked and something caught her attention on the side of the bill. She began to read the following words: "Paid in full with one glass of milk." Yes, dear listeners, no act of goodness will go unrewarded. In fact, Swami used to implore his students to take up some service or the other, saying that all good deeds will help in drawing God's grace in moments of need. But when we serve, our motive should not be the grace that we lay claim to. We must serve considering it as our duty to our dearest Swami. Dear listeners, in this segment, Service Love in Action, we at Radio Sai remind ourselves and everyone that when we serve others, we are actually serving ourselves. The service that we render to others with a kind heart comes back to us manifold. Well, last week, dear listeners, if you are there with me, you would have heard about the discussion that we had with the key members of a unique service activity initiated by the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, that is, the Disaster Management Training Program. The Sai volunteers, that is, the Seva Dals, are specifically trained in disaster management. Disasters like natural calamities such as tsunami, earthquake, floods, cyclones, etc. In fact, they have in the past rendered service under arduous conditions during the Gujarat earthquake, tsunami in Tamil Nadu, floods in Orissa, Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, to mention just a few. Also, its specialized disaster management team programs have now been extended to Tamil Nadu Police Department as well. Listening to this disaster management training program, dear listeners, we got a lot of positive feedback. One was from a devotee from Oman, Miss Srinidhi. She says that after knowing about this disaster management training program, the service wing in Oman has been inspired to start activities on similar lines along with the ongoing service activities in Oman. Well, thank you for writing to us. In fact, we would love to know and would like to share with our listeners about the various other service activities happening in Oman too. We would also like to thank Mr. V. Guruswamy for his appreciations to the disaster management team of Tamil Nadu. He writes, "Such an impossible, selfless task is being carried out silently under the Sai mission, the parallel of which is not to be seen anywhere in the world." He wrote expressing his deep appreciation for all the Sevadal involved. Well, dear listeners, the time in our studio is 11:27 a.m. and it's a warm day here in the Prashant Nilayam Ashram. This is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I'm Team Radio Sai Raghu. In the previous segment, Morning Glory, dear listeners, you heard the first part of a conversation with Mr. Sohan Datta, an alumnus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In fact, Sohan was also involved in some special initiatives, service initiatives in Kolkata with other alumni. About this, he says,
"It so happened was that few of alumni there in Calcutta, we came up together. So initially started the small project to make Swami happy. It was like a water distribution project. On the weekends, we used to go out in cars, distribute cold water to the traffic police who, you know, irrespective of the scorching heat, does their duty, and also the pedestrians who were thirsty. This went on for a few weeks. Summer was over, so our work got over. So we wanted to do something more. So that Josh was there, and that fulfillment of doing something for Swami had already gotten. So that in July first week, I came down here, and
this is which year?
2009.
July 2009.
Actually, we found out something that in Calcutta, or rather in West Bengal, there were many youth who were educated but unemployed. So we were trying to find out the gap. Why was this happening? So we could, you know, trace that it was happening because though they are educated, but they are not groomed enough to fit in the corporate culture. So we wanted to do a grooming session and help them in getting jobs. July first week I was here, so just showed the blueprint to Swami, and Swami graciously blessed it. So we communicated that to the state presidents and vice president, and they told that it has to be done on 13th of September. But time was too less because it was just a blueprint. Neither venue nor the facilitators or faculty or even the applicants or the age group from where we'll pick, whom we'll get, nothing was decided. But when, you know, God wills, who can stop it? So things just fell in place. Everything was streamlined. And 13 September, that Sai Grace, we call that program, was a gala success. And since there were so many applicants, we could not accommodate all in the first session. So we had to have many more sessions. So we had few more districts in West Bengal. And after the end of the whole day training, we did a training need analysis and categorized, you know, students on different merit and trained them later on. And the best part was, by Swami's grace, so many got employed.
So many got employed?
Yeah.
You were actually grooming them, you arranged for their placement also?
Not arranged, we helped the networking, the Sai alumni and all those.
Yes, you facilitated their employment. And that was probably a very fulfilling moment.
Very fulfilling. And 2010, the first January when we came here for the alumni meet, and the 2nd January when we had a session inside Punachandra, and when as a group with the card when we went to Swami, the smile on his face, you know, nothing could have given us more happiness than that.
Dear listeners, that was Mr. Sohan Datta, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, telling us about a service initiative in which he was involved along with other alumni of Bhagwan's University in Kolkata. Well, dear listeners, this is the month of February, and on 22nd, 23rd and 24th of this month, over 2,000 devotees from Adilabad district of Indian state of Andhra Pradesh had come to Puttaparthi as part of their annual Parthi Yatra. So, I happened to meet the district president of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization of Adilabad district, Mr. Venkat Rao, and I had recorded a short conversation with him about the various service activities in Adilabad district of Andhra Pradesh. So, let me now play for you that short conversation.
Sai Ram sir, and welcome to the studio of Abhilya
Sai. Sai Ram.
This is the 7th Parthi Yatra, right?
Yes.
So, how many devotees have come from Adilabad district?
Around 2,000 devotees from all the corners of the district have come and participated. Last year from 22nd onwards.
Okay, now please share some of the service activities that is happening in Adilabad district of Andhra Pradesh.
Definitely. So we are doing several service activities with the grace of Bhagavan for the last many years. Out of the activities, I quote some activities. The service activity which is being called Nityanadanam.
Okay. Nityanadanam is serving free food.
Free food. This was started on 21st August 2012.
Okay.
It has been started by Honorable Minister Srimati Geeta Reddy Garu. She has come and started the program.
In Adilabad district.
District headquarters, Adilabad.
Okay.
So the main aim is to serve the free food to the patient attendants.
Okay.
Who are come from all the corners of Adilabad district, and some people come from Maharashtra border also. The main objective is to serve free food to the attendants who are very poor.
Yes, okay.
And they stay in hospital for minimum 10 to 15 days for the ailment of the
patient. Which hospital?
Government hospital.
Okay.
It is a medical college, RIMS, Rajiv Gandhi Institute of Medical College. So they stay in that hospital for all these days. They face so many problems to have a food in there. To purchase food, they bear minimum 100 to 100 rupees in a day. So while seeing all these problems, with Bhagavan's grace, we have planned the project and approached district collector for granting this permit to give a accommodation. So he graciously accepted and gave a one canteen building, permanent building. So he gave it. After that, we approached Geeta Reddy Garu to inaugurate it. So with all the cooperation and district officials and politicians, this was inaugurated on 21st of August.
Last year. So since it's a government hospital, the food for the patients are taken care by the hospital itself.
Yes,
right?
But we are
concentrating for the attendants. The patients. Okay. So now this is going on daily basis.
Yeah, daily basis. Around 3 to 350 attendants are taking food.
Okay.
Daily. Daily one-time meal.
One-time meal.
Yeah, afternoon. Okay. From 12 o'clock to 2:30. This is this timing is. For that, we give coupons in the in 1 day advance. We go to them and give the coupons. On that basis, they come and take their food.
And it's funded by the Satya Sai organization.
Yes, purely it is funded by Satya Sai organization, for which we have floated one trust. And the cause was gone to public also. They are coming forward and they are celebrating their birthdays and marriage days, for which they are coming and serving the food and offering harath to Bhagavan, like that.
Now, can you throw some light on other activities?
We are doing medical camps in the remote areas, like tribal people are, hamlets are there. We go to them and treat their small ailments and give free medicine with the support of this ITDA.
ITDA.
Integrated Tribal Development Agency. So that tribal
that
development
is an NGO?
No. It is a government organization.
Okay.
They come along with us and they come to their houses and we will go to them and give medicines.
How often you go and do
monthly
this?
Monthly once, like that, we will go and treat them. And apart from them, veterinary camps also doing. And major activities, we once in a 3 months, 6 months, we do major activity of Grama Seva, in which 9 service activities will be covered.
9 service activities?
Yeah. From morning 5 o'clock to evening 8 o'clock, 9 service activities we will be doing.
Are the 9 service activities?
From Omkaram Suprabhata onwards,
okay.
In the beginning we will start a veterinary camp. Simultaneously these activities will be conducting. This veterinary service and Balavikas. For ladies, village ladies, we will conduct one spiritual activities like Kumkum Puja, Oratam like that. And door-to-door bhajan. We will put Swami's photo in their house and with their permission we will do one bhajan in the house. And after that one more house like that. We will cover almost all village.
They may not be Swami's devotees also.
No. They may not be Swami's devotees, but they invite us to do bhajan.
Yes, correct.
That is. And one major physical activity. This formation of road, cleaning of garbage, like that, we will do with the help of villagers. For which we go in the advance to the village and take their permission and take their support also. Swami said, now without cooperation of the villagers, we don't go to village services. So like that, we ask them to support us, for which it is a grama bhidayana. So that like that. And after that, we will do Swami's Palliki Seva, like that.
Okay.
And in the end, we will do one cultural, this Marpu Ravali. Marpu Ravali, it is a role play.
Okay, with Marpu Ravali is?
Marpu Ravali means it is linked with village oriented, village, how to develop our village, our own village, with the participation of all the people.
Marpu Ravali, please tell it in English, what it means.
Marpu Ravali means change that...
there should be a change, transformation.
Transformation. Transformation is required.
Okay. Okay, then you are telling about that cancer detection.
Yeah, we have done one cancer detection camp with the support of Grama Seva Trust of Hyderabad people.
Okay.
And the doctors and all that equipment in a mobile bus, they came and organized one major detection camp in Jainath village nearby Adilabad headquarters. On the day, they have covered almost 300 patients, out of which around 12 patients have been detected with a cancer problem. That case have been...
They are all villagers.
Yeah, they are all villagers. They don't know about the even their problem also.
Okay.
So, they have been detected and that patients have been brought to the Hyderabad hospitals and pursued the further follow-up actions.
Who are these doctors, sir? Were they Swami's devotees?
No, sir. They have come from this NTR cancer, this Basavatarakam Trust, Basavatarakam Hospital. They have tied up with Grama Seva Trust.
Okay.
They came.
So you requested the doctors to come?
Okay. We are doing one more activity on regular basis as per Swami's preachings, as per Swami's directions. We are doing National Narayan Seva. This National Narayan Seva is a food to the doorsteps of the needy person. They are not in a position to make their food. Those people have been identified. And
they are similar to the Amrita Kalasham.
We are supplying Amrita Kalasham for entire 1 month period. That ration has ration.
So what the ration includes?
5 to 8 kilos rice as per the requirement, and dal, these grains, sugar, oil 1 packet, small items we will do. For entire 1 month ration we will provide.
And cooking they will take care?
They will take care cooking. If they are not able to cook, they take some support of the neighbors. Mobile van we are planning, not yet finalized. If that is materialized, we will go with mobile van for remote areas. That is Swami's grace.
Any other future plans you have?
Our only motive is to take Bhagwan preachings to the village level and for transformation of ourselves, and after that villagers, we will go to villages and introduce Swami's preachings into their daily life. That is the main motive.
Now, can you share some incidents where you have seen some transformation in the beneficiaries even in the volunteers?
Yes, yes, sir. Now, before we organized Patyatras in the 2006, so many persons... they don't want to see Bhagwan, they don't want to share with the Bhagwan organizations. When the organization come forward and started a Pathyatras right from 2007 onwards, the people slowly coming to organization, coming to bhajans, and they started worshipping Bhagwan as God. After that, so many people experienced their lives with so many changes in their lives. Main change what we observed in some areas, earlier they did not have their enough food to their routine life. After coming to Prashanthi Nilayam and blessings of Bhagwan, now they are very happy with their children. They are having a comfortable life, sir. They are leading comfortable lives. So many people.
And many would have come for Prashanthi Seva also.
Yeah, yeah. Only on account of Pathyatra only, we are having enough Sevadal to Prashanthi Nilayam. It is only on because of Pathyatra's result. And after Pathyatra, we could able to start almost 60 bhajan mandals in rural areas.
Okay.
It is only in the result of Pathyatra and Swami's blessings.
Sir, since you are telling so much about Pathyatra, please tell us, what is this Pathyatra?
Pathyatra is a Sai. Before Pathyatra is, it is a non-Sai. Because it is a Sai starts from society, this Swami and association and individual. They come with only that reason. Their aim is to darshan Bhagwan. And after that, take some services of the villages. And after that, they put their individual. So before that, they come and they take darshan of Bhagwan and they go and they forget about it.
Yes.
Only Pathyatra means it is a responsible activity.
Yeah. As a group they come.
As a group they come and have the blessings of Bhagwan and after the return of their journey, they take some activities of the organization.
Okay, okay.
That is the reason, sir.
So how often it's conducted, sir, Pathyatra?
Once in a year, sir.
Once in a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once in a year, when we go back to villages, after 2-3 months, we plan for another, again for next year,
Pathyatra. Next year, Pathyatra.
Yeah.
Okay. So every time new people come or same devotees come?
Same devotees will be coming. And in addition to that, at least 1/4 of the group count, they will be coming new devotees.
New devotees.
If the 2000 are this, around 500 people are newcomers.
Okay. This time?
Yes, this time. Every time it will be like that.
So now finally, before concluding, I want to ask one question, sir. Like now in this changed circumstance, when the Swami's physical form is not there, what challenges are you facing in motivating the youngsters and volunteers for coming to service and joining the organization?
As of now, we are not feeling any that Swami disappearance is like that. Particularly in villages, devotees are very firm. And as if Swami's presence is there, they are worshipping the Bhagwan. And Swami also blessing like that. Swami giving dreams, Swami giving directions to the devotees in such a way.
Swami's presence is felt.
Yeah,
they
are feeling the Swami presence in everywhere.
Can you share any incident where you
in felt recent Swami? On January 20th, one incident was taken
this
place.
Year.
This year, on January 20th, one village called Naugam in Rebbana Mandal of Adilabad district, one baby child, she was asking for this some jewel called Mukku Podaka, like they are very
that
poor.
Is, it's put in the nose.
Put in the nose.
Okay.
Put in the nose, gold. This is studded with some stone. So she was asking parents for the long time. They are not in a position to afford it.
Okay.
So they prayed Swami, and one fine day, when she was worshipping Swami after this puja, she opened a vibhuti box. There she find one.
Okay.
Put, Swami has given and the entire village was
surprised.
Surprised.
Okay.
Like this, so many miracles are there, particularly in villages of Swami. Presence or in Manchurial town, Swami during sixth bhajan, in the bhajan, sixth song, Swami physically appeared in one house.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, just 2 months back.
Oh, the people could see Swami.
One person who is the house owner has got this opportunity, and Swami gave him a darshan physically.
Okay, really. Wow, wonderful.
In white robe, Swami appeared.
Okay, so these things are inspiring and encouraging people. Okay. Okay, sir, thank you for coming to the studio.
Sai Ram, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
You are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you 24 hours a day the message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram and welcome once again to today's Thursday Life. This is the segment Service Love in Action and I am Team Radio Sai's Raghu. Well, the time in our studio is 11:45 a.m. and it's a warm day here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. And I hope you are finding this segment of service inspiring. Well, dear listeners, before we move forward, let me play for you a bhajan from the album Nada Brahmam, a Sai Blossom product.
Mahadeva Maheshwara Sai Narayana
To Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Bhagwan often said that he had incarnated not to start a new religion, but to make a Hindu a better Hindu, a Christian a better Christian, and a Muslim a better Muslim. During the 85 years of his advent, Bhagwan Baba delivered thousands of divine discourses on a variety of spiritual topics for the benefit of entire humanity.
సర్వభూతహితం ఏవాం, మీరందరూ క్షేమంగా ఉండాలి.
Let everybody be happy, safe and secure.
ఆనందంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
Let everyone be happy.
ఇట్టి సర్వశక్తిమయమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వము ప్రతి మానవుని యందు కూడాను సూక్ష్మ రూపంలో నిలిచి ఉంటున్నది.
This all powerful ఆత్మ resides in human being, every human being.
సేవ అనేటువంటిది మొట్టమొదట అహంకారాన్ని చంపివేస్తుంది.
Service first of all kills this ego.
నీవెవరు అని ప్రశ్నించినప్పుడు నేను ఆత్మను అని చెప్పాలి.
ఇఫ్ ఎనీవన్ పుట్స్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ హూ ఆర్ యూ, యూ షుడ్ సే ఐ యామ్ ఆత్మ.
డియర్ లిసనర్స్, రేడియో సాయి డెలివర్స్ అ డైలీ డోస్ ఆఫ్ ఫోర్ డివైన్ డిస్కోర్సెస్ ఆన్ రేడియో సాయిస్ ఏషియా స్ట్రీమ్. ద ఫస్ట్ డివైన్ డిస్కోర్స్ ఇస్ అట్ 6:30 AM ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ అండ్ ద సెకండ్ ఇస్ అట్ 11:30 AM ఇండియన్ స్టాండర్డ్ టైమ్. You can listen to the third divine discourse of the day at 2:30 PM in the afternoon and the fourth at 10:30 PM at night. These timings are on Asia Stream. To know about the timings of the divine discourses of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page on our website radiosai.org. You can also listen to these discourses at your leisure at any time by downloading them from our website radiosai.org. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, welcome once again to today's Thursday Life. You just heard a Sai Bhajan sung by Amit, a former student of Bhagwan's University. This bhajan is from the album Nada Brahmam, a Sai Blossom product. Well, for the interest of the listeners, you can know about our various other Sai Blossom products from the website saiblossom.org. Moving further in this segment, dear listeners, I want to talk about one of Swami's mega projects on healthcare, that is the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, that is the two super speciality hospitals also called as modern temples of healing situated at Puttaparthi and at Whitefield, Bangalore. These two hospitals together has completed selfless service of free patient care for more than 3 decades now. Well, you may wonder, how is it possible to give free treatment to patients without any discrimination of class, creed, religion, rich or poor or whatever? In fact, there is no billing counter in the hospital. Even the visiting doctors who come to these hospitals come to do selfless service. Now, what brings them here? The answer is, of course, Baba's pure and unconditional love. One such cardiac surgeon was Valuvan Jeevanandam from USA, who when heard for the first time about this hospital, just couldn't believe that there exists a hospital which can give cardiac surgery for free. In fact, not only cardiac surgery, but many more specialties like neurology, ophthalmology, orthopedics, urology, etc. It seems initially it just didn't register to him that such a hospital could ever exist. Well, Dr. Jeevanandam's parents hailed from South India. In 1970, Dr. Jeevanandam went to America along with his father, who is a scientist. At the time, he was about 10 years old. Dr. Jeevanandam grew up in New York, studied there, took up a medical degree from Columbia University, specialized in cardiac surgery, and went to Chicago University after spending many years in Temple University in Philadelphia. He was interviewed by Radio Sai's Biju Broshti on October 2010 when he had come here to Puttaparthi Super Speciality Hospital on the occasion of a cardiac conference. So let me now play for you a few excerpts of that conversation in which Dr. Jeevanandam speaks about the mysterious ways in which how Swami the Divine Magnet pulled him to him.
I heard about this hospital in, I think it was either 92 or 93. And so we have going to a satsang center in Philadelphia, and auntie called me up and she said, you know, her uncle was coming and she wanted me to come and meet with him. And I didn't even know why she was calling me, and I had not heard about this hospital at all at that time. So we went, we had wonderful bhajans, and then afterwards he came to me and he said, you know, I hear you're a cardiac surgeon. I said, yes. He says, you know, Swami's built a hospital in Puttaparthi. And, you know, honestly, it just didn't register to me that there could be a hospital that could be giving free service and a hospital of this magnitude, because it's not something that I would have ever expected. But, you know, the one thing that he did say was that they had a lot of patients with valve problems, and getting valves in India at that time, which was 20 years ago, was quite difficult. So he asked me if I could give him any help in procuring valves from the U.S. and bringing them to India. And we all know that if, you know, Swami wants to procure valves, you know, Swami can just do anything with his hands and his mind, and, you know, the infinite amount of valves can come to Puttaparthi. But of course, he uses each one of us as an instrument, and everyone has their own story. I think one of the stories that he brought me to this hospital was through valves. So uncle asked me for valves, and, you know, valves are quite expensive in the U.S., and I had no idea how I would ever ask anybody for valves. So I put it in the back of my mind and didn't even pay attention to it. This was like around February or March. In June, we had decided we were going to come to India. And usually at that time when I came to India, I would come to our relative's house and my wife's relatives as well as our relative. So at that time I never met with Swami, and I said, okay, you know, maybe we'll go and see Swami, because at that time we had gotten very involved with Sai activities. So we were supposed to come in June. So by about May time, you know, I had thought about the vows and didn't even know who to ask for vows. At that time, I was quite a junior person in our department. So a junior person coming to ask, you know, representatives for vows, you don't get any response at all. But you would not imagine. So first, you know, one day I was sitting in my office, and this person came into my room, and he was a vow representative. And he said, hey, your secretary is saying that you're going to go to India. I said, yes, I'm going to go to India. I'm going to visit some relatives. And that person said, you know, are you going to do any charity work in India? And I said, no, I wasn't planning on doing any charity work. But he said, well, you know, if you are interested, our models of valves changed. And because they changed, I have many, many valves of the old model that no one wants to use in the U.S. So if you would like, I can give you these valves. And they're very, very good valves. People are still using them all over right now. But in the U.S., if they sell it to one hospital, that hospital cannot give it to anybody else. They have to discard those valves. It's an FDA regulation. So they said, I have many hospitals who want to upgrade to the next valve, so they're giving me these old valves, and I cannot do anything with them. And they're perfectly fine. Most of the other hospitals use those valves, but these particular hospitals don't want those valves. So here's a man who's coming to me and offering me valves at a time when I didn't even know how to ask him. And so at that time I said, I remembered what uncle had said, and he said, okay, you know, this hospital needs valves. So I said, yeah, give me these valves. I know a place that will accept those valves. So he gave me those valves. And about 2 or 3 days later,
like more valves came to you. You didn't really go looking out for them.
No, because I didn't even know how to look for them. So they came to me.
And did you actually believe also when he said that, you know, such a hospital exists, free, offering completely free care?
When uncle said that there's this hospital that exists for free care, I said, oh, how can you give cardiac surgery for free? Right? And he said, this is a super specialty hospital, does cardiology, urology. And that's why I was saying, it doesn't register to me that a hospital like that could even exist. So it wasn't like I wasn't, I didn't disbelieve, I just couldn't believe.
Yeah.
And so the first company gave me valves, and then you won't believe it, but 3 days later, another company came, and they also said they had valves. Because I guess these guys start talking, and then so he gave me a bunch of valves, and then we got some sutures, etc. And pretty soon, even without me asking anybody, I had a huge suitcase full of incredible resources of valves and sutures and, you know, quite expensive equipment. And so at that time, you know, we were trying to figure out how to come here, and someone said, okay, you have to take a taxi from Bangalore to Puttaparthi, and the hospital's on the way. So I'd never been to this hospital, never been to Puttaparthi. And so we landed up in Bangalore, and I figured I'd give myself, you know, 1 day to Puttaparthi and come back. And then so we had given ourselves 2 days in Bangalore. That was it. So I came in the evening time, and I asked the person at the hotel, you know, I need to go to Puttaparthi to see Sai Baba. And he said, oh, but Sai Baba is in Whitefield.
Oh.
So we went to Whitefield, we got darshan, and you know, I saw Swami as a small orange speck from way in the back. We didn't know what time to go, we didn't know what line to stay, we just saw Swami from all the way in the back. And so the next day we had arranged a taxi to go to Puttaparthi. And in that time, of course, the roads were bad. It took about 4 hours to come here.
So you're coming to Puttaparthi to deposit all this?
Just to deposit the equipment. Once you get off the main road, it's all desert at that time. Okay, there's nothing major here. They're very, very small villages. The roads were bad. I don't even know if they were paved at that time. So it's all desert, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, where am I going? This looks like the middle of nowhere. And there's a very, very gentle hill. You know, you go up, and then you come down. And as soon as you go up and come down that hill, it's like the whole world has opened up into an oasis. Because there was this beautiful, beautiful palace, you know, this hospital. And I was astonished. I said, well, you know, what is that? He goes, oh, that's the hospital. I had never seen a picture of the hospital before. So I was expecting a very rectangular gray building. And here you have this beautiful pink paradise. So as always happens, you know, Swami always has these little leelas and little plays. And, you know, he likes to do these plays so we gain more faith and surrender in Swami. So we came to the gate. And at the gate, the Sevadal said, okay, you don't have a pass. Who are you? And I said, you know, I've come from the U.S. I have a lot of this equipment. He must have thought I was a drug representative or a valve representative because he wasn't letting me in. So, and I said, you know, ask inside. Because I didn't let them know I was even coming. Because no one told me to do that. I just thought I could come to the hospital and give these things and leave. And so, after, you know, he called. And then all of a sudden, he said, okay, you can go to the main gate. So this is the first time and probably the last time in the hospital I actually went to the main gate, because now whenever I come to the hospital you always go to the side gates. But so I went to this main gate and this beautiful, beautiful hall, and I get out of the car, and one of the doctors at that time, he comes out, he puts his arms out and he says, ah, yes, you have arrived. And I looked at him, I said, you have arrived. I didn't tell anybody I was going to come. You know, I didn't know anybody in the hospital. It's not like I asked Swami's permission to come. But he said, you have arrived. And he said, this is, you have come home. I said, come home. This is, I don't know anything about this being home. And, you know, it's very interesting. He said, Swami had told them that within the next couple of days, somebody's going to come from America and is going to bring all your supplies.
Oh.
But I didn't tell anybody. Anyway, so, you know, the second I saw him, I felt at home. You know, when he said you're at home, I felt, oh, maybe, you know, this is more than a hospital. This is not a hospital. This is more like a temple. a place to worship. Of course, when you come into the great hall, you see all these beautiful Ganesha statues and the chandelier and this real hall of meditation. So I felt something special. And so they took me through the hospital. They treated me like a son, more than a doctor. And I gave him all the equipment. And he asked me what I did. And I told him I'm a transplant surgeon. He said, you know, our doctors would love to hear about transplant. And I said, but, you know, I didn't bring any slides. And then he opened up the bag and he said, well, what are these slides? And so somehow my slides had come into that suitcase. I had put them in a different suitcase because I was going to give a talk someplace else. And so the slides were in this suitcase, and I gave a quick talk about transplant.
One after another.
Yes.
Surprises.
And I think, you know, it's amazing how Swami makes all these, they're not incidences, they're not coincidences, you know. Rita Bruce calls them Psi incidences.
Right.
So I gave them the talk on transplant, and after I gave them the talk on transplant, I kind of became known as the expert in transplant. So I talked to the doctors at that time. I had no, it was still overwhelming. And, you know, they took me through a round, and I still didn't quite comprehend that this was a hospital that people didn't pay anything to. I did see a lot of Swami's pictures, and I could feel the vibrations of His love. And what struck me at that time was how quiet and peaceful a hospital was. There were many, many people, and they were all quietly sitting down. I've never seen a hospital so quiet. And you had, you know, very, very soft bhajans being played. It was a place of peace. Even at that time, I didn't comprehend that this was actual hospital that you could work in. I thought this was more coming to a temple that you would meditate in. It was just so peaceful. And you could see the peace in the patients' faces.
You could see that.
They weren't agitated. They were calm and peaceful. It's very hard, it's very rare to see that in a hospital, because usually when you go to a hospital, people have worry, they have anxiety.
You really found that difference here?
Oh, very easily. You could find that difference now. If you just go to the outpatient facility in a hospital in the US and you go to your OPD here, you know, it's remarkable that you have how quiet and how serene it is and how calm the patients are. Because I think the patients come, they come for Swami. And they know that Swami will take care of them, and that belief and faith guides them. And, you know, I think it's just a remarkable, there's medicine that goes on, but there's also spirituality, there's mind healing, there's a lot of other things that go on that are beyond just what physicians can do. You know, there's the saying that the physician can treat, but God only heals. And I think you see both of that in this hospital.
This is Radio Sai Global Harmony. You can know more about our program schedule by visiting our website at www.radiosai.org.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to today's segment, Service Love in Action. You are listening to a conversation that we had with Dr. Jivanandam, who is a visiting cardiac surgeon in Swami's Super Speciality Hospital here at Puttaparthi. This interview was recorded on October 2010 when Dr. Jivanandam had come here for a cardiac conference. In conversation with him was Team Radio Sai Special. Well, further in the conversation, we asked him what is it that strikes him about this hospital and how it is different from other hospitals. And for this, he said,
what I was trying to say is, you have come many times, and
yes.
What is it that even now strikes you about this hospital? You have come so many times, and is it something that that has a very deep impression on you about this hospital, and which probably you also share with others?
So I think this hospital does two things. Okay, there's the two realms. There is the physical realm, and how different this hospital is from a physical form. And then there is the, above the physical, there's the spiritual realm about how different this hospital is. So, from a physical form, you know, it's amazing that, you know, again, many people have said this, there's no building department here. Okay, I mean, which hospital in the world do you have that there's no building department? You know, there are still many charitable hospitals, and the way they work is, they'll say, okay, pay us what you can. or they'll have different levels of payment for people who can afford it and people who cannot afford it and people who have insurance, etc. But there will be money because money is needed to run a hospital. So it is amazing that this hospital has no billing department. And, you know, not having a billing department, I think puts a lot of patients at ease because they don't have to worry about their bills. And it also puts the physicians in a different frame of mind. Because, you know, you're not pressured to have to operate to generate your income. And then there's a huge amount of collaboration that occurs. Like in the U.S., you know, you have cardiologists and you have surgeons. And sometimes if a cardiologist puts a stent in, the cardiac surgeon loses out on that patient as a revenue stream. And in the U.S., we often look at patients as revenue streams, not as patients, but as, okay, if the cardiologist does this, then I can't do this. And the cardiologist says, well, if I send him for the cardiac surgery, then I cannot put a stent in. Well, I think one of the amazing things here, especially... Correct. That's commercialization. And here's, it's almost like spiritualization of medicine because instead of money being driven, you know, it's not money-based medicine. It's truly a collaborative-based medicine. So here our cardiologists and cardiac surgeons, they're not looking at it as what is best for them. They're looking at it as what is best for the patient. So, you know, if they say, hey, listen, I have to put 3 stents in, and if I have to put 3 stents, then if one of the stents goes, then we have to put 4 stents, and it's not the best thing for the patient. And there's actually a lot of, even in the U.S., in the Western world, there's a lot of data to suggest that if you have to put a lot of stents for diffuse disease, that surgery is better. And, you know, perhaps surgery even gives a survival benefit, and there's less complications called MACE. MACE is major adverse cardiovascular events. And that's, you know, it's clear that after bypass surgery, there's less. But still, the cardiologists always see the patient first, and they'll convince the patient, okay, we're going to put stents. But here, one of the few places in the world where, you know, everybody works together. So the cardiologist says, well, you know, this is too diffuse disease, why don't you just operate? In the same token, you know, the surgeons may look at a patient and say, listen, you know, this is a higher risk patient, you know, it's only 1 stent, why don't you just put the stent in so we can defer surgery. And also, the other thing that is not often thought about is just medical therapy. You know, sometimes people look at an angiogram, they'll see a blockage, and they'll say immediately, oh, we have to fix the blockage, either with surgery or with stenting. But there's a lot of data to suggest that just pure, simple medical therapy works well. And when it's revenue-driven, you know, you want to operate on the patient because you want to generate the revenue, it is appropriate treatment that is patient-based, that is not revenue-based.
That's what happens when you take money out of the picture.
And you get amazing amount of collaboration. And with collaboration, you just get fantastic patient care. You know, that's what Swami's always said. You know, he says, don't treat the x-ray. Don't treat the pneumonia. Treat the patient. You know, what is truly wrong with that patient? I mean, he may have pneumonia, and you could treat the pneumonia, but maybe his real problem is that he has a blockage someplace and he's aspirating his food, and that's what's causing his pneumonia. Or maybe he's drinking, and because he's drinking, he cannot cough, and he's getting a pneumonia. So treat that. Don't treat the pneumonia.
Holistic medicine.
Yes.
Looking at the person as a whole.
Correct. So I think that is practiced here, where you can truly treat the patient as a whole and enjoy treating the patient as a whole and feel that it's your mission to do it.
I think not only the patient gets good care, the doctor also is satisfied. Has a lot of...
So when I talk about the peace of the people, you know, of the patients, the other complete aspect of it is the people who deliver the care. And it's not only the doctors. I mean, I would say here, the entire staff of the hospital is just exemplary, right? I mean, Dr. Safaya had a very high position in Delhi, and he's now running the hospital. From Dr. Safaya all the way to the Sevadals who keep this hospital immaculately clean. I mean, if you walk down the hall, you can walk completely barefoot, and at the other end, there's nearly a piece of dust on your feet. And that's all from the true devotion of the Sevadal. I mean, the Sevadal come here, they may never get a chance to see Swami, but they come here because of Swami's mission. many of the perfusionists, for instance, they had no idea when they were doing their MBA and doing their MCOM that Swami one day was just going to pick them out of a line and say, okay, you're going to become a perfusionist. They went, they got trained, and it's amazing how you have super, super intelligent people and dedicated people being perfusionists. So you see that peace and calm in the patients, and you equally see it in the people who work in the hospital, who are associated with the hospital. They can always refer back to Swami. And if there's a real problem with the patient, they can ask Swami for guidance. You know, in the Western world, you can, but you may not get an answer right away from God. Here you can go and ask God, and God will give you an answer. It's like doing a trapeze act, but you have a fantastic net underneath that you know that there's always Swami there to catch you and to help you and to walk with you. And so I think you see that in the physicians and the administrators.
The two levels that you mentioned, one is at the physical level where you don't have billing, and the other is this spiritual level.
Correct. And I think the spiritual level from the patients and the people who work in the hospital. And that's why overall the hospital, it just seems so pure and clean. It's not only the physical cleanliness, it's also the spiritual cleanliness of everybody's soul. And that's why it makes it so special. And, you know, I am fortunate enough to work here, but I have my feet in both places. I have to take the feet from the outside world and the feet from Prashanti world. And it's very, very different. And, you know, when I'm out there, you know, people say, oh, where are you going to go in India? So I say, I'm going to go to India and I'm going to do some, are you going to operate there? And I say, yes, I'm going to do some charity work. And they think, you know, that's a noble thing, I'm doing charity work. And I keep telling them, I said, you know, I get 100 times more out of going there than they ever get from me coming here.
Oh.
You know, because I might go here and, you know, these operations are Swami's way, I think, of bringing me here to recharge my own batteries. You know, I may come here and work, but when I leave here, I'm so rested and spiritually refreshed. You know, I always say I come here to recharge my batteries. And now I come here, I used to come here once a year, but now with Swami's, grace, I've been able to come here twice a year. So I think Swami must think that I need to be recharged twice a year as opposed to just needing to be recharged once. And so, I could go on a vacation to a beach resort and do nothing. And I would come here and, you know, maybe I help with 4 or 5 cases a day. But at the end of that week, I'll feel much more refreshed leaving Puttaparthi than leaving and coming back to work from another vacation. Just coming to darshan, seeing Swami, just kind of cleanses you of all your bad thoughts, and he puts good thoughts in your mind. And then you go outside and you slowly lose the charge, and then you come back and get recharged again. So I think that's how Swami is. And everybody's journey to Swami is different. You know, I'm probably way behind other people and just starting on my path.
That's
and I might have thousands of lifetimes to go before I can attain what other people can attain. But at least I'm on the path and Swami is taking me in that path.
When you go to other hospitals in the U.S. or in your own hospital, do you share about this hospital? Do you talk about this hospital?
Yeah, I mean, even to our administrators, I've show them pictures of this hospital. I can't, of course, believe that this is a hospital. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, at University of Chicago, where I work right now, we're building a new hospital.
Okay?
That hospital is being planned for 9 years. Okay? They broke ground 3 years ago. There's still 2 more years to go. So it takes about 4 to 5 years in the U.S. to build a hospital from the ground up. Okay? And so if you tell somebody that somebody's built this hospital in 6 months, you know, of course they think that you're kind of crazy. And it's still hard to believe that you can do something like that in 6 months.
So still they don't believe when you share about this hospital?
When I say it, I bring a little bit of some credibility, but they're still incredulous that it can happen. You know, I mean, obviously when people say it, a lot of people say it, it has happened. But it's just an incredible amount of devotion to Swami for all the people who have made this happen in 6 months.
So unless I think someone comes and sees, it's really hard to believe.
Yes.
Especially someone from the Western world.
And to see that it's done in 6 months is just, that's even, I mean, just seeing the hospital is incredible. Then you say, okay, in 6 months, then it makes it even more incredible. And then when you say, okay, you did your first 4 surgeries in the first day after 6 months, then it takes it to divinity level.
So you see, dear listeners, what is the difference between Swami Super Speciality Hospitals and other hospitals is the holistic treatment of the patients, both physically and spiritually. As you heard Dr. Jivanandam saying, that what struck him initially when he saw the hospital was how quiet and peaceful the hospital was. There were many people and all were quietly sitting down. It seems even after having worked in many hospitals in US, he has never seen a hospital that is so quiet and peaceful. And you had very soft bhajans being played in the background. It was a place of peace. In fact, even at that time, he didn't comprehend that this was actually a hospital that where you could work in. It seems he thought this was more coming to a temple that you would meditate in. Well, for the benefit of listeners, let me briefly tell you about Dr. Jivanandam. Dr. Jivanandam is a visiting doctor, cardiac surgeon in Super Speciality Hospital here at Puttaparthi. Dr. Jivanandam's parents hail from South India. In 1970, Dr. Jivanandam went to America along with his father, who is a scientist. At that time, he was about 10 years old. Dr. Jivanandam grew up in New York, studied there, took up a medical degree from Columbia University, specialized in cardiac surgery, and went to Chicago University after spending many years in Temple University in Philadelphia. Now he comes to Puttaparthi twice a year to serve in Swami Super Speciality Hospital. And he says that he comes here for recharging his batteries. He feels so refreshed. Well, dear listeners, the undercurrent of all Swami's projects is Swami's divinity. It seems once Dr. Jivanandam got an interview with Swami, and during the interview, Swami told another devotee about Dr. Jivanandam. Swami said that he transplants heart. He can take one heart from another, but he can only transplant as only I can transform hearts. Well, isn't that a profound statement, dear listeners? Yes, it is. Okay, the time in our studio being 12:25, it's time for me to sign off and hand over the baton of Thursday Life to Prem and Arvind for the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is the afternoon satsang. So, placing this segment, Service Love in Action, at the lotus feet of our most beloved Pakwan, I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai signing off, and I'll be leaving by playing for you a couple of songs sung by Swami students.
Kanula mundara kadali yade karuna rupamuni vo pilachinantane palukarinche prema bhavamuni sarvam nive mata nive ma sarvam nive mata virula taruvula taaki galagala paaruna dulamune Aruna kirana pukanti mila mila miriyu kadali vinivu nive ma sarvam nive ma మధువు కొరకై వెదకు భ్రమరమునేను ఎల్ల వేళల మధువు కొరకై వెదకు భ్రమరమునేను ప్రేమ మధువును నిండియున్న హృదయ కమలము నీవు
కదలియాడే కరుణ రూపము నీవు, పిలచినంతనే పలుకరించే ప్రేమ భావము నీవు. నీవే మా సర్వం, నీవే మా ప్రాణం, నీవే మా ప్రాణం.
కోయిల కూసిన రాగమా